Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 70 of the Beyond the Ring of Big T Wrestling Podcast for Tuesday, July 11, 2017. And oh, goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Yep, you heard that right. My great balls are on fire, and we're here to review the show, Great Balls of Fire. So, what I'm going to do for you guys before we get into Great Balls of Fire, it's going to be fun. I hope you guys are joining us here live on YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, hope you enjoy this podcast. Make sure you guys, if you're watching on YouTube, like the video, comment on it, and subscribe to the channel. It's for free. If you guys are listening on iTunes, automatic, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, leave a 5-star rating. The audio podcast will download to your device of choice, all for free. It doesn't cost you a dime. But if you guys are familiar with the show, you guys also know how we kick off every show here on the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. And that is with the introduction from Mr. EC3, Ethan Carter III. So what I want to do right now is play the intro for you. So let me get that fully set up here for you. Alright. For those of you watching, I'm gonna put it on screen share so that you guys can see. Alright. There's EC3 in all his glory. So what I want you guys to do right now is kick back, relax, and enjoy EC3. And I will be right back on with you guys in just a few seconds. So, hang tight. I'll be right back. And, here's EC3. Enjoy, everybody.
Well, this is EC3 of TNA Wrestling, and you are so very fortunate because you are watching Beyond the Ring with Big T.
Alright, there you go. We heard from the man himself, Mr. EC3. Thank you very much, EC3, for that wonderful intro. As always, I can't tell you how grateful I am for that very intro. But I'm your host, Big T, right here with you. We got our buddies here with us tonight. We got Sage and Capital P along with us, so the whole gang's here.
Yeah. How's everybody going?
Good. How are you guys?
We got
ready to review this weird ass pay-per-view. It was a weird pay-per-view.
Very weird, but good.
Yeah, weird. Yeah, like, you know.
Some of the decisions that they make was very weird.
You know, that's how they go. Heels over everything.
Oh yeah, we all know how it works over there. I mean, it should be
always one.
It should be no surprise, but just to let you guys know, we just got off the air with doing SmackDown Live Review and we're already over 200 views on YouTube, just getting off the air.
Nice.
So SmackDown tonight was a huge success.
Yeah,
let's make this Great Balls of Fire review on this podcast. Let's make that a huge success as well. For people on YouTube, the live chat window is open if you guys want to chat. So, we're going to have some fun right now, and I hope you guys will enjoy the ride with us.
Yeah.
All right, so
let's get this started.
So we kick off the show, and we have Neville defending the WWE Cruiserweight Championship against Akira Tozawa on the kickoff show. I'll just skip right down to the bottom where it says, Tozawa rolls through a sunset flip, hits a shining wizard, then hits the top rope back senton, but Neville rolls outside to avoid being pinned. Tozawa gets him back in, but Neville crotches Tozawa on the ropes, kicks the top rope, kicking Tozawa off. Titus yells at the referee that it was cheap. Referee checks on Tozawa, but then Neville with a head kick to retain the title. Winner and still Cruiserweight champion, Neville. We didn't even get to see this match because we started watching the pay-per-view late.
Yeah.
But the fact that Neville is still champion, it just goes to show you there's literally nobody else in that division. The man has the division all to himself, and
I think that's a bad thing. I don't know about you.
I mean, I love Neville, but the fact that there's no viable person to compete for that title, unless they start building Cedric Alexander.
Tozawa.
So, you know, he's beating them all. The only person he hasn't beaten yet is Alexander, which I think that's going to be the next feud. So, what do you think, G?
I mean, honestly, man, the match was okay. You know, it wasn't the best Cruiserweight match in the world, and out of all the matches that took place on Great Balls of Fire, I guess they made a good decision on putting this one in the kickoff, because, I don't know, this just didn't feel like too much, you know, for me. I didn't really get that into it. It was a decent match. I'm not saying it was totally bad, but yeah. I don't know, something within me, I couldn't get fully invested in it. And the whole thing is, I love Neville just like you love Neville. And the problem is, though, you're going to call me crazy for saying this, but just listen to how I'm going to spin this, and then it's going to make total sense to you. I think doing what they did with Neville, even though Neville's doing great work, I think by making him this strong is really a bad thing. It's hurting the division in the end, because by doing what they did with Neville, by making him so good, it exposed their division and how weak it really is. So they did something to benefit one man, but it also killed the entire division on top of it and exposed the weak point. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Neville. It's not his fault. It's WWE's fault, but it's almost like Neville's success is almost a bad thing for the Cruiserweight division as a whole. Now, you know, Cedric Alexander versus Neville, that's something I could really sink my teeth into if they really build up Cedric Alexander, because he's a great performer. I saw some of his matches in Ring of Honor. He even wrestled in AIW up here in Cleveland. The guy has a great moveset. He's a great wrestler. He can wrestle. He can bring it to Neville. If there's one Cruiserweight that could beat Neville, I say it's definitely Cedric Alexander. And hey, NDN, how you doing in the chat? But if there's one Cruiserweight that could do it, I'm going to go with Cedric Alexander. But it's just a shame that Neville's success is the one thing that turned out to be bad for the Cruiserweight division and is exposed the fatal flaw in what really made people fall out of even finding any interest in 205 Live, because everybody woke up and seen that there's, I mean, for real, it's just like Neville says in his promo, there is no one there on the Neville level. There really isn't.
Yep. But anyway, so Neville retains, and then we actually get to the actual show, and it's Bray Wyatt taking on, I'll just read this real quick. Rollins takes out Wyatt outside with a tope suicida back in. Rollins springboard clothesline for a two. Running form, sling blade by Rollins, followed by a blockbuster for a two. Wyatt goes for Sister Abigail, but Rollins counters with an enziguri. Wyatt then comes in with his wind-up lariat, but then Rollins responds with the Falcon Arrow for a close two. Wyatt then comes back in with the draping gutbuster and the standing Uranagi for a couple close near falls. Wyatt sets up Sister Abigail, then slaps Rollins and yells at him and tells him to fight me. Rollins unloads Wyatt, who goes to the knee. Wyatt rolls outside, pokes Rollins in the eye as the ref tried to pull Rollins back. Sister Abigail, Wyatt, gets Wyatt the win. And winner, Bray Wyatt. And
I'm so happy for him.
I'm so happy for him because he got two victories back to back. Great Balls and on Monday night. So so good for Wyatt. Rollins did not need the victory, so I mean, the nigga's on the cover of your next game, so he ain't gotta win shit.
Yeah. And he's been on the main card for a while.
Exactly. He's been a main eventer for a while now. I mean, he's already held championships. Like, Rollins is the man, and Wyatt needed it more than anybody. Yeah. So glad Wyatt got the victory.
Very glad.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. And I'm happy for Wyatt myself, but I'm not trying to rain on Bray Wyatt's parade or be a Debbie Downer or nothing, but I just gotta be straight up in how I feel here. You know, Bray Wyatt wins, that's great. You know, it doesn't hurt Rollins, at least Wyatt is finally getting some momentum, but here's the issue. When you really look at this, all of this, you know, by the way, Rollins has been, since WrestleMania, just kind of floating. He's like in the main event scene, but yet below it. Like, he just can't reach up and grasp that title shot or get in the title picture. You know, it's like he's right below it, just waiting. And you know, it's bad enough that this feud was built on basically nothing. There's no reason why these two are fighting. We can't figure that out for the life of us. And
that's wrong.
That's what they've been doing for the last couple of years.
Yep.
Yeah. And in the grand scheme of things, at the end of it though, did this, even though Bray Wyatt got a win, did it really, is it really gonna mean anything in the long run for Bray Wyatt? Is this something that's really gonna push him through the glass ceiling? Or are they just looking at this as, you know, this is just something we threw together, we'll get Bray Wyatt the win and, you know, basically try to keep him happy, but when in the end they're still not gonna do nothing with them. It's like, I'm afraid.
It's too early to tell though. It's too early to tell. Depending on what his plans for SummerSlam is, you know, at this point in time, it's too early to tell right now, really. We just have to wait and see what's up, but I can only hope for nothing but the best for Bray Wyatt. I want the best for him. I think the worst thing that's happened to him was having them bring his ass back to on Raw. If he would have stayed on SmackDown, man, look at AJ Styles. They never touched AJ Styles, and look at him.
They still haven't ruined
them because they haven't put them on. Yep. They haven't put him on Raw. They kept him on SmackDown, and look at him. He's still holding a title. It's not the main title, but it's still a title nonetheless. Wyatt held the tag team title with punk-ass Randy Orton, and now Wyatt is on Raw and not in the title feud, and Randy Orton is still in the title feud with fucking Jinder. So, rooting for the title since Bray Wyatt fucking won it, and continuously has been with gold around his waist. Fuck Randy Orton, yo. Give my man Bray Wyatt a bone. Give my man Bray Wyatt a fucking bone, man. What's up?
But you understand why I'm afraid though, right? And why I'm questioning it is because look at whose hands Bray Wyatt's future is in. And it's like, I can't help but immediately be afraid because look at their track record.
I mean, the same people who got their hands on Bray is the same people who's given Jinder Mahal the push of his fucking career. It's the same people. It's not a different team. It's not a different motherfucking group of people. It's the same motherfuckers. It's the same people, and they've continuously been giving my man Bray the fucking shaft. The fact that he got two victories in a row back-to-back, man, things are looking up for Bray. And all these people who talk shit, he's all talk and doesn't back it up. Well, you know what? He backed it up this weekend. He backed it up this week on Sunday and Monday. I hope this continues. I hope this isn't a one and done. Keep my man looking strong because the fans love him. The fans love him.
And we it's want like him. Finally the promos he cut, bro, they meant something. All those promos and all the words he said, by the way his actions were at Great Balls of Fire and on Raw, they meant something. And it was great to see.
Yeah. But moving on, I'm not even going to read this match because it was such a short squash. But we obviously had Enzo Amore taking on Big Cass. Enzo came out, cut like the most passionate promos of his entire career. And he faced the brand new heel Cass. And this was a glorified squash match. I mean, fucking Big Cass picked his ass up, gorilla pressed him out to the motherfucking ramp. Enzo sucks as a wrestler, but he does take some crazy bumps. He takes some crazy bumps. Yeah, man, glorified squash match. Gorilla pressed him to the outside. He just made the fucking 10 count. Came in, Cass hit the ropes, big boot, 1, 2, 3. That was it. That's the feud. Hopefully the feud is done. Big Cass can move on to bigger and better things. People want Enzo to go to Crew 205. I don't want him to do that. Have him be somebody's manager. Whoever the fuck can't talk, have him speak for them.
Yeah.
Give him to Shinsuke. Yeah. Man, put Enzo on fucking Cesaro. Fuck that. Enzo and Cesaro. Cesaro, you know, he's not the greatest on the mic, but Enzo can fucking hype him up. You know? I don't know. Just have him be somebody's manager. Don't have him wrestle. He sucks in the ring. His gold is in his mouth. His mouth is what gets him paid. So have him keep on talking, you know? And as for Cass, I don't know what's going to happen with Cass. Really. But that's all I have to say about that.
Dude, Cass?
Yeah, they're not going to stop on Cass. Nah, I don't know. Vince loves Cass. Yeah, go ahead, T. Hello? You? Todd, you hear me?
Yep.
All right, go ahead, bro.
You know, this match, it was really what I expected it to be. I mean, in all honesty, it really was. I still say there was no reason to break these guys up. There really was no reason to break these guys up. I mean, to be honest, Enzo has more character development than Cass does. He really does. Now that I see how bad this whole thing is coming off on TV, I mean, you know, yeah, Cass winning with the big boot like 5 minutes in, who cares? You know, just Enzo, his promo ability is unbelievable. And you know, we always thought that Cass was pretty decent in the ring. But seeing him on his own, and, you know, this character sucks. What he has right now, I'm telling you, this character's really bad. Cass is almost looking out of shape, like he's got man boobs or something. he constantly has to walk and raise his hands slow and look up in the air like that, like he's the Undertaker or something. I think he secretly wants to be the Undertaker because all he does is that when he's walking down the ramp and when he's in the ring.
No, we all know that he's Test, the second coming of Test. That's what
Test and Edge.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, when I saw him get in the ring and raise his arm again, and then another thing that's really hurting him is the music. The theme music is fucking horrible.
Yeah, that has to be one of the worst theme songs right now. He better get it.
Like,
I think it's worse than the Cesaro theme song. Cesaro theme song.
Oh, dude, it's way worse. Like, I was pissed when they originally debuted Cesaro's theme song, and I'm like, this shit's generic. I mean, don't get me wrong, even now it's like, I still really am not a huge, huge fan of Cesaro's theme, but it kind of grew on me somewhat. Big Cass, as soon as you heard it, it's like you wanted to stuff cotton in your ears to just make it stop. It sounded like some generic fucking bullshit theme that a WCW production truck whipped up that you would hear on WCW Saturday night when the local jobber would come to the ring. Because remember how WCW always had that real generic sounding fucking music?
Yeah.
That's exactly what this theme is like.
The only two themes that WCW nailed was NWO Black and White and NWO Red and Black. That's it. That's the only two memorable themes, though. And Goldberg's. That's it.
Yep. I mean, other than that, and Booker T's.
Booker. Yeah, can you think it? Yeah. That's
yep. Right. Besides those four, though, it's like, it's all fucking generic whipped up shit. And that's what I felt like they did with Cass. They just brought some fucking street band in the fucking studio and had them jam fucking whatever notes they wanted. That's what they gave. They're like, here's your fucking theme song, Cass, right here for you. And, you know, not only is it the theme though, like just Cass's character. It seems like he has no character. He's not even that great in the ring. I mean, he even had to do the test big boot for God's sakes. And I don't know. I really think Cass, within 1 to 2 years, Cass would be released from the company because I don't think he's gonna go any further.
He's big and he's sweaty, and that's what Vince likes. So he's gonna be there for a long time to come.
I'm afraid of it.
You're dwelling way too long on this match, man. It was just a big boot and that was it. A toss, a big boot and that's it.
It was a short match.
We ain't gotta dwell too long on this. It was basic. We all knew he was gonna win. Enzo had no chance in hell unless he was gonna cheat, and he didn't cheat. So, yeah, man. They took the lamb to the slaughter, and unfortunately, that lamb was Enzo. So, but moving on, we probably had the best match of the night, next to the main event, I think. And Sheamus and Cesaro defending the Raw Tag Team Championships against. Oh, the broken leader himself, Matt Hardy and Brother Nero, Matt and Jeff Hardy, and man, this is probably the match of the night next to the main event. I mean, honestly, man, it was a 30-minute Iron Man match, tag team Iron Man match, apparently the first of its kind, which I think is bullshit. I think they've been some before. It had its good moments and it had its down moments. But clearly the highlight of the match was right towards the end. Sheamus and Cesaro was up 4-3, 4 victories to the Hardys, 3 victories. And here says, it was 3-3. It was tied up. And then the referee checks on Sheamus as Jeff heads to the top with 2 minutes left. Cesaro pulls Sheamus outside, but Jeff wipes them out off the top. Back in, the Hardys hit Event Omega on Sheamus. I don't know what the fuck that is. But Cesaro breaks up the pin again. 1 minute left as Sheamus counters the Twist of Fate with a roll-up for two. Matt with the Twist of Fate. Jeff tags in, Swanton on Sheamus, but Cesaro blind tagged in beforehand and pins Jeff on the way down to go up 4-3. 10 seconds left as Cesaro tries to run away. Jeff hits him with a Twist of Fate, but the time runs out before the ref can count to 3 winners and still Raw Tag Team Champions, Sheamus and Cesaro, and I'm telling you, it was probably match of the night.
Yeah.
We got a lot of teases of Matt becoming broken, which, man, I'm telling you, it just gave me a fucking boner. Like, I'm just waiting for this man to just start saying all his catchphrases, obsolete, deleted, Lux, he's new. Waiting for it because, man, he also teased it on Monday Night Raw, and man, dude, the day that this man becomes broken, I'm telling you, Vince McMahon, he's gonna say, yo, the greatest thing I ever did was fucking re-signing these guys to a contract. Man, phenomenal match. I mean, what can you say? Sheamus Cesaro versus the Hardys. They haven't had a bad match yet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had real high hopes for it, and, you know, it delivered. But one thing I do got to say about it was, if there's anything you want to pick apart from this match, is that the beginning, it started off slow. I mean, once you hit, like, the final 12 minutes, you know, 10 to 12 minutes, and shit really started to pick up, that's what made this match every bit as good as it was. And then when you got to like the last 2 to 3 minutes, it was just absolutely chaotic. It really was. They did a really good job with this. The Iron Man stipulation was good. I mean, obviously, I'm not happy with the result. The Sheamus and Cesaro still have the tag belts. But, you know, it is what it is. I hope that they have these titles because our broken leader is getting ready to come out.
Yes, yes.
Wonderful.
That's what I'm legit hoping for. That's what I'm legit hoping for, that our broken leader is ready to reveal himself to us.
Ready to delete Meek Mahan.
Yeah.
That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for him to start deleting people.
Yeah. Man, me too. That would be the ultimate. The ultimate right there. And the match was really good though. I mean, the spots were nice. These two teams know how to work with one another.
Yeah. This is true.
I'll give them that.
Yeah, you gotta admit, these teams is good. Like, I'm not a big, I'm definitely a big Cesaro, especially Hardys. So these guys working together is beautiful.
Yeah, man, they work well together, man. They have good chemistry, and who would have thought, right? But I mean, that's what happens when you get fucking top tier athlete like Cesaro, you know, pretty decent worker like Sheamus, and two legends like the Hardys, two of the greatest tag teams of all time. So, you know, you get magic, and this was really good. This was nothing short of epic.
Yeah, and you know what? The Iron Man stipulation, it was good. It was something innovative. And, you know, I can never be against that, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving on. We had Alexa Bliss defending the Raw Women's Championship against your girl, Sasha Banks. Bliss tries to crawl to the ropes and is somehow unable to reach them, but Sasha holds on the right until the count of 5. Tasha shots Sasha across the bottom rope, then trash talks her. Sasha sends Bliss into the barricade. Bliss keeps moving away from Sasha, then nails her with a slap. Referee keeps counting, and Bliss allows herself to be counted out. Winner, Sasha Banks by count out. So that means Alexa Bliss still retains the Raw Women's Championship. Also, after the match, Sasha attacks Bliss after and sends her into the Minitron. Bliss then sends Sasha off the announce table. They go on the table, but Sasha knocks Alexa off and wipes her out with Meteora from off the announce table. Sasha stands tall over Bliss as the ref checks on her. And that was the end of that segment. This, I think, we have stepped out, so we didn't even get to see this match, so, you know. But, so what are your thoughts on that, T?
Well, I'll tell you, uh,
It was a very good match. It really was. You know, Alexa and Sasha were great together. They had some nice spots. You could tell that how they worked in the ring together, they gelled. They definitely gelled with one another. They knew how to work. They knew what to do. And, you know, in the end, now don't get me wrong. I was one of these people. I wasn't happy either, but hear me out. You know, I'm not one for DQ finishes. Never have been. You know, well, this wasn't a DQ finish. It was a count-out finish, but still. This was WWE's only way out. This was legit their only way out. Was to have Alexa get counted out. Because think about it, you're not going to have Sasha win the title at Great Balls of Fire. Or, you know, who knows when you'll ever win it. And Alexa, Sasha clean, because then that means that Sasha doesn't get a rematch at the title. And you know how WWE likes to drag things out when they got the two top women on the roster for Raw going at it? You know they want that pay dirt to be at SummerSlam. That's where they want this to all pay off. And honestly,
that's where the money's at.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, people should not be upset with this outcome, because if you really look at it, this was the only way they could go. And honestly, this match to me, you know, wasn't like a culmination of a rivalry, you know, even though it's been going on a few weeks. This was like their stepping stone to make it really heated. They made it heated by the way it played out, so they did a good job. I play women.
Yeah, it's good. Moving on. We got The Miz taking on, The Miz with Maryse and The Miz taking on Dean Ambrose, defending his Intercontinental Championship. We also missed this match, but it's The Miz and Dean Ambrose, and it's nothing special. We've been getting this feud since last year. We're still getting it. But basically, Miz catches Ambrose off the top, but Ambrose hits Dirty Deeds. Then Maryse puts Miz's foot on the ropes to stop the three count. Ambrose with a tope suicida to take out Miz, then sends Axel in the ring. Dallas nails Ambrose from behind, skull-crushing finale by The Miz to retain the title. Winner and still IC champ, The Miz.
Yeah, I mean, I know the capital P, we're shooting for 12. I hope we don't go too much further over. I'm shooting for 12:15, so I'm going to make this quick because I want to spend time on the two main events, honestly, and really pick those apart. Just to say a quick thought about this match, it was what it was. You know, interference happened. Miz won. He had to have everybody interfering from left and right. Typical Miz win. And honestly, once you've seen one Miz Dean Ambrose match, you've really seen them all. It was nothing special. It was the same thing again.
Yep, this is true. Nothing special between the two. And man, Ambrose stock has just plummeted, man. This dude was the fucking champ at one point. And now this dude is like an afterthought. Like, man.
Now, here's the thing. When he won the, I don't mean to cut you off, but I got a point here and I'm curious what you'll think. You may have even said it before and I just forgot because I've been forgetting a lot of things, but, when Ambrose won the WWE World Heavyweight title last year, his babyface character, you know, it was still hot. Now, it's ran its course. You know, I think really what they need to do with Ambrose as soon as possible he needs to turn heel and be a deranged heel. He really needs to show, like, Ambrose Asylum and, what is it, the Lunatic Fringe. He really needs to be a lunatic and act crazy. Maybe talk to himself. Be a heel. You know, he's the one that should really have voices in his head, not Randy Orton.
Yep. Gotta say I agree with that.
Like, really? You know what? Even spice it up. They probably won't go this far, but even spice it up. What if you make Ambrose a heel lunatic? Where he has to be brought to the ring by orderlies in a straitjacket. Like two guys dressed in white, like they just came from the mental hospital. You got Ambrose just like with the crazed look on his face, hair all messed up in a straitjacket. Just can't wait to be unleashed from that straitjacket to give punishment to his opponent. Make him crazy.
Yep.
But pay off.
But that's just wishful thinking at this point. But anyway.
Yeah, we know WWE doesn't go with logic.
No. That's not their strong suit. But anyways, moving on, we have possibly, like, the other great match of the night. And it's crazy that I'm saying this because it is a Roman Reigns match. But we had Reigns taking on Braun Strowman in an ambulance match. And just jump right in and says here, Braun opens up the ambulance doors and goes to throw Reigns in, but Reigns sends Braun off the ambulance door. Braun goes to drive Reigns into the ambulance, but Reigns stops him. Superman punch by Reigns, but Braun fights back. Another Superman punch by Reigns. Then goes to put Braun in, but Braun nails him with a backboard to the ribs, then across the back. Another shot with the backboard by Braun. Then he tosses out the stretcher from the ambulance. Braun throws Reigns across the rampway, but Reigns avoids a scharf, and Braun goes into the Minitron screen. Reigns avoids a charge, but Braun goes into the Minitron screen. Braun goes for the running power slam, but Reigns slips out, sends Braun through the LED wall. Braun starts to stir out of the rubble as Reigns can't believe it. Reigns goes to drag Braun. Braun sends him off the rampway and to close the door. Reigns comes back by nailing Braun with a light, then goes for the spear, but Braun avoids it, and Reigns goes flying into the ambulance. Braun shuts the door to win the match. Winner, Braun Strowman. Now, here's where things get crazy. Afterwards, Reigns gets out and spears Braun. Reigns then nails Braun repeatedly with the ambulance door, then puts him in the ambulance. Reigns tosses out the driver and drives off to the parking garage. Reigns then bats the ambulance, sending it careening into an 18-wheeler, smashing the back of the ambulance. Reigns stumbles out of the ambulance as GM Kurt Angle, WWE agents, and medics attend the ambulance, trying to pry open the ambulance doors.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I don't really have much to say about this. It was a pretty good match. Most ambulance matches aren't really good. They're pretty garbage, but this one happened to be one of the few good ones. Say what you will about Reigns, love him or hate him, the guy, you know, he performs well in these big stakes matches, sort of like Cena does. You know, not my favorite, but hey man, he put on a good fight. But I believe the right man won in this situation. Sort of wish it was for the number one contendership to face whoever went between Joe and Lesnar, but unfortunately it wasn't. I think it should have been. That way we can know for sure if we're going to have Braun versus Brock, but it's looking like it's going to be, like you said, T, and it's going to be a fatal four-way between Lesnar, Joe, Reigns, Braun, which I wouldn't be opposed to that. I think it would be pretty good. But yeah, man, that being said, I think this was a pretty good match. And I didn't think anything was going to top the Hardy Boys match, but this came very, very, very close.
this came very close, a very close second match, but I still think the Hardy Boys match was number one. And, yeah, man, that's my thoughts. What about you?
Well, you know, this match, I'll always say this about Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns. They work well together. They really do. They complement each other very well.
Yeah.
I mean, they're two guys that are meant to work together.
Yeah, they are.
Like, I don't know about you, but do you guys see, before I get into the thoughts of the match, like Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns, I think they could kind of be like John Cena and Randy Orton, but better.
Oh, no.
Like in the fact that Strowman and Reigns, they'll be career-long rivals.
Yeah.
Like, they have their matches now, and then they'll always revisit down the line, just for the fact that they work so well together and gel together. Don't you think these guys could be career-long rivals throughout their 10 years in WWE?
I mean, yeah, but not too much. Because think about the Randy and Cena is that it's been way too much.
Yeah.
Too much. So, nah. Oh, nah.
The only people that I see as career-long rivals at this point is Owens and Zayn, man. Because Owens and Zayn, all of their matches delivered.
Yeah.
All of their matches delivered.
Yeah.
But I do agree, they do have good chemistry, Reigns and Strowman.
Yeah, they do.
They do have.
And it was a good match. I gotta give that up to Reigns and Strowman.
I mean,
getting better. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, man. A year ago, nobody would have thought Strowman would be the type of guy that he is, the top guy on Raw that he is now. Yeah. We were all criticizing him.
Not too long.
You know, saying that motherfucker couldn't even fucking do a chokeslam correctly, and here he is, being the hottest thing on Monday Night Raw right now. And this man is fucking doing drop kicks, fucking enziguris. Like nobody would have thought this a year ago. And all it took was for the booking committee or the team or the writing team just to get behind him and start booking him correctly, like an actual beast, like an actual monster.
Yeah.
And nobody has anything negative to say about this man. If you can book him right, you can book anybody right. But unfortunately, you know, they put their eggs all in one basket.
Yeah, like, I remember on the road to WrestleMania 32 when Vince wanted Strowman to fight Undertaker. They had so much backlash that Vince had to scrap the match and go with Shane McMahon. But, you know, now people probably, they would like to see Strowman and Taker.
Yeah.
Think,
yeah, definitely.
Well, he was too green at the time. And yeah, I feel like now he's had a little bit more season on him. He's, you know, sort of like Corbin. When Corbin came up, he was green as fuck still. And he's matured into a seasoned, you know, competitor. And so has Strowman. But, I'm still not jumping at the bit for that Taker Strowman, unlike other people are, but I am very happy with the way that he has been built.
Yeah, like the ambulance match, like you said, Sage, it was one of the better matches that, one of the better ambulance matches that they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And match was good. I mean, the ending really was a little bit unbelievable, you know, that Reigns just dove into the ambulance. You would think he could have put the brakes on. That was the one thing, like, Reigns just willingly threw himself in the ambulance for Strowman to shut the door. That was one not-so-good spot. And, you know, just when he backed up the truck into the tractor-trailer, all they had to do was pull that ambulance up and get Strowman out. They dragged out the drama way too long. I mean, get the jaws of life in there, get the fire department out there to tear the door open with the jaws of life. It was too much.
Yeah, the jaws of life thing. It was like, seriously, like,
But you know what? That being said, it was very cheesy, but they made it work. They made it work. I feel like there were way too much people out there. The fact that Angle and Jamie Noble and all these guys were like standing right next to it when, you know, in real life, if some shit like that happens, the cops is backing everybody the fuck away. Back the fuck up. I don't give a fuck if you work here. You better back the fuck up. Let these people work on this truck. You know, that's how it would be in real life. Yet they're standing there, the fucking camera is zooming in and out and shit. Like, you know, I'm supposed to suspend my disbelief, but at the same time, this is cheesy as fuck. But, I mean, you know, they made it work to the best of their abilities. And what I forgot to mention also was, after this happens, apparently we had Heath Slater taking on Curt Hawkins in the ring. And the whole time they're having a match in the ring, the camera is still focusing on Strowman and the Jaws of Life and him getting him out of the freaking vehicle. Meanwhile, these people are having a fucking match and nobody's even looking at the ring. The camera doesn't even go to the ring. Eventually, they get Strowman out. Strowman crawls out of the motherfucking ambulance like the dude is like, like he's just survived the apocalypse.
Yeah.
People are trying to help him up. He's pushing people away left and right. Yeah. He's leaking out of his head and bleeding and blood drops on his arms. Yeah. People are trying to lift him up and he's just shoving people away and he refuses any medical attention. He walks away like a fucking boss and Strowman is, people started rumors that, oh, was this a double turn? Was this a double turn?
Yeah.
Did Roman Reigns turn heel? And did Strowman turn babyface?
Yeah.
Because only a heel would do something so dastardly as to run an ambulance into a tractor trailer. No. No is the short answer. Like, no, Reigns is still gonna be the guy, even though he's getting booed, even though nobody wants to see him. He's their guy. Strowman, yeah, we're warming up to him and stuff and we're cheering him. But I think what's helping us warm up to him more is the fact that he's been kicking Reigns' ass. And we want to think that this is a double turn. We want to think that WWE is gonna do the right thing, turn Reigns heel and Strowman face, but let's be real, they're not. They're gonna continue to be the same old characters. And that's that. There was no double turn. So people need to stop with this. Ooh, it's a double turn. No, please relax. Not that serious. They're not that inventive anymore anyways, where they can masterfully pull off a double turn anymore. Because 9 times out of 10, we're booing the baby faces anyways and cheering the heels. So, you know.
Yeah.
And anybody who goes up against Roman is an automatic face. Because Reigns is always the default heel.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and think about this too. Like, this wasn't done for the sake of a double turn like everybody thought. I was even like, whoa, people. You're getting way too ahead of yourselves.
Way too ahead.
I'll tell you why this was done. That whole thing with Roman doing what he did was all for the fact, and trust me, this is a fact, this was all done to make Roman look strong.
I mean, isn't everything done to make Roman look strong?
Because
it's fucking Roman. Motherfucker, he gotta be the star of the show, no matter what his placement on the card, no matter who he's facing, he's always the main focus.
Like that's what got me, you know, like the reason why Braun closed the door. It's like Braun didn't do a move and put Roman into it and close the door. Roman speared himself and Braun closed the door. So basically Roman beat himself.
Yes.
And then for Roman beating himself, they had to make him look stronger, not even let Strowman have a proper celebration. They had to find a way to have Roman just beat the crap out of him and destroy him. And, you know, Vince will never let anybody get off the hook when it comes to Reigns.
Nope. But anyways,
And about the Curt Hawkins Heath Slater match, I honestly don't know if that match was supposed to even be aired. Like, if a little portion of it was even supposed to be aired on the pay-per-view, and I'll tell you why.
That's my stuff.
Like, listen, when they went away from...
Listen, I'm Curt Hawkins, I'm Heath Slater. I would ask for my release. I would do the Austin Aries. I'd be like, hey, just grant me my release.
I know he cried himself to sleep that night.
Because, okay, hey, yeah, you're on the pay-per-view. You're getting a pay-per-view check because, you know, they get an extra bonus when they do pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Okay, you're getting a check, but nobody saw it. Even the people in that arena, nobody saw it because everybody was turning their heads looking at the fucking big screen.
Yeah,
wanted to see what happened. Nobody cared about that match.
I felt bad for those guys, you know, like no matter what they were doing, you seen it in the crowd on live TV. Everybody was looking at the Titantron. That was number one. Number two, why I'm thinking maybe this wasn't supposed to be aired. Because think about it, they took the cameras off the backstage area for like 1 minute. Those guys were already in the ring ready to do the match, okay? Then next thing you know, they go right back to the backstage area. Next thing you know, here's your winner, Heath Slater. That's all you hear JoJo say.
Mm-hmm.
And then the announcers, they don't even talk about it after they get Strowman out. They don't even show a highlight of how Slater won. So I'm wondering if that was a fuck up. Like, where that wasn't even supposed to show on TV.
I disagree. I think everything that happened was supposed to happen. It was meant to happen that way. That was just to fill in some time, you know, because we all know nobody was going to be looking at it. Look, come on, look. It wasn't even advertised on the card. That was something that they did. It was like, you know what? We don't want to just have an empty ring. You know, we want the people to maybe go to the bathroom or maybe go get something to eat. While we're watching the Jaws of Life, Braun Strowman's thing backstage.
Stupid.
You know, that was like the little bathroom piss break right before the main event. Because they wanted to give it some room to breathe before, you know, we had the fucking Joe and Lesnar showdown. Because, come on, that's what everybody wanted to see.
So, yep.
Yeah. No, that I just think it was, you know, to give him some breathing room, you know, and obviously to finish up the backstage segment. But again, like I said, man, if I'm Curt Hawkins, if I'm fucking Heath Slater, I'm asking for my release. Cause that's just a slap to the fucking face, man. It wasn't advertised. Nobody gave a fuck about it because everybody was too busy looking at the screen or going to the bathroom or getting something to eat, man. I'll ask for my release. Let me go. I'll go to the indies. They'll utilize me better. They'll book me better. And I'll have much better matches. Please.
And more time for my family.
Yeah, and more time for the family. And their merch money. They ain't going to fucking get no cut out of it. That money's going to go into their pocket. So I'm asking for my release.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyways, that being said, again, like you said, Roman had to look strong. And that's all that was there to do, just to make him look strong. But moving on, we have our main event of the evening. It was Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman defending his Universal Championship against Samoa Joe. This was a short match. This match went no longer than 7 minutes. And it was okay. A lot of people were upset. A lot of people were mad that all it took was one F5 to defeat Lesnar. I mean, to defeat Joe.
I was.
I'm sort of in the middle. Because everybody always gets online and bitches and complains that finishers aren't protected. That everybody kicks out of every finisher. Oh, finishers are supposed to be protected. They're supposed to end matches. And then when they actually book it for a finisher to end the match, people still get upset. Now, it's understandable that, you know, this is a lost cause already. Like, people have already been kicking out of finishers for God knows how long in WWE so far. Yeah. I don't even remember when that started becoming a thing. Because I've always remembered finishers finish the match. That's why they're called finishers.
I think it started with Undertaker and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25, the first match they had.
Could be.
could be, but I can't remember off the top of my head if that's where it actually did start, but I wouldn't doubt it. But again, see, for Mania, see, this is the way I see it. Finishers should be protected, but since it's Mania, Mania is something special, man. You gotta understand, Mania is the biggest show of the year. You can't just end it on the one finisher at Mania. Mania, you gotta have that superhuman strength. That shit gotta come out of, you know, the will of the fans gotta power the babyface to keep on kicking out and keep on fighting. You know, for Mania. But for regular Monday Night Raw, motherfuckers shouldn't be kicking out of no finishers. Yeah. Nobody should be kicking out of any finishers on a Monday or Tuesday. So pay-per-view depends on the pay-per-view. This is the first of its kind, so I guess they wanted to make it sort of memorable with having such a monumental match, Joe and Lesnar, because, come on, man, that's a main event. That's a main Mania-worthy match right there, and we're getting it on a B-level pay-per-view. But... you know, all it took was one F5 to end Joe. People were sort of upset. The way I look at it, people look at that as the negative. I look at it as they booked Joe to look strong.
Yeah.
Joe looked like a fucking badass. Yeah. He was taking it to Lesnar. That motherfucker, he wasn't sitting around waiting. He was there. He was taking it.
Yeah.
He was making it his moment. He made it his night. Even though the whole night was revolving around Roman Reigns because of what he did, and everybody was talking about that segment. The way I look at it is, Joe was the winner here. Because Joe was looking strong. Joe was taking it to Lesnar. He almost had him pass out twice, you know, and they booked him to look really strong. What do you think, P?
Yeah, they did. They did a really good job. I'm surprised, as a matter of fact, that they didn't destroy him or, you know, like ran over him like I thought they was.
Yeah.
Pretty okay. I'm pretty good with it. I'm glad they're taking him at least kind of serious.
Yep.
So yeah. I love it.
Yeah, man. How about you, T?
Well, I'll tell you, man. You know, the match, before I do my very wide impression, I'm here. Let's see, how do I put this? Like, I thought the start of it was good too, because right before the match officially started, don't forget, Joe, when Lesnar was holding up his title, as Heyman was doing the introduction, Joe attacks Lesnar. And then Joe put Lesnar table at ringside. And then next thing you know, they get in the ring. Lesnar says to start the match. They start the match. And it gets going. But here's the thing. Yes, they did a great job making Joe look strong. He looked like a beast. He laid the punishment out to Lesnar, even though Lesnar got some suplexes in on Joe. In the end, you know, like, yes, finishers should be protected like we talked about, but I think this was one situation where they should have bent the rule a little bit and let Joe kick out of an F5 because even though he looked strong and almost beat Lesnar, if you really look at it and really think about it, throughout this match, even though Lesnar got his punishment in on Joe, Joe still, I think in the grand scheme of things, threw more punishment at Lesnar.
Okay,
he went through an announce table. He almost passed out from the Kikina clutch. I think Joe delivered more punishment. Lesnar didn't give Joe that much punishment. And I think for that fact, to make Joe look really strong, Joe should have kicked out of an F5. Because Lesnar was way more punished than Joe. I think that was the wrong way to end it.
Yeah.
It's like when you really get going, it's like that's when we were really getting going, getting into the match. Next thing you know, Lesnar hits an F5 and it's over. It's like, okay. I mean, it was good, but kind of a letdown at the end.
Well, I mean, Lesnar also defeated
Goldberg with just one at five. You know? And yeah. And if you ask me, nobody was booked to look stronger than fucking Goldberg when Goldberg came up. When Goldberg made his return, nobody was booked to look stronger than him. He fucking defeated, he defeated Lesnar in a minute and 26 seconds. And then in the Royal Rumble, he also made him look like a bitch. And until WrestleMania, where Lesnar got his revenge, which was justful, but it still wasn't in the same amount of time that it took Goldberg to beat him. Yeah. Because Goldberg beat him in a minute and 26. In the Mania match, it was like 5 minutes tops. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, in a way, it made him seem Goldberg was supposed to be like the toughest opponent that Lesnar ever had. Because Lesnar had never beat him since fucking WrestleMania 20. He never beat him. So, you know, Joe, in his very first outing against Lesnar, was made to look strong. He was made to look very strong, and I don't think anybody could be upset at that, you know? Especially the fact that we all know that Joe isn't a WWE guy. He's a TNA guy. He's a guy from outside, you know? He didn't make his name in WWE, and WWE only likes booking and pushing guys that made their name in their company.
Yeah.
So the fact that they did this for this man, and the fact that, you know, we got to remember, he won a fatal five-way for this, you know, where Rollins could have easily won it or Reigns could have easily won it, you know. And that would have been fine too, but the fact that they went with Joe, to me, it says how they actually view Joe. And that's like, you know what, we see you as a serious competitor. We see you as a top guy here because we're putting you against our toppest guy, fucking Lesnar. And that being said, Lesnar thought the match was so good that afterwards, you know, I think he spoke to Vince or he spoke to somebody and said that he wants to do it again with Joe. So this is not going to be a one and done. You know, we will see this match down the line. And man, I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait. I have nothing but positivity about this. Yeah. It could have been better. You know, it wasn't better than the Joe Goldberg at Mania because that one was just impactful. But there were moments in this match where I'm like, yo, shit, yo, Joe could win it. And he didn't. But the fact that I even had that doubt in my mind, that to me is a good thing.
Yeah,
that was a good thing. And you know what? Maybe that's why they went with the finish as is, because it only took one F5 to beat Goldberg, so they went with this with Joe.
Yeah. And besides that, at this stage in the game, the strongest finisher I think right now that's very protected is the fucking one-winged angel by Kenny Omega, because it is a different company, but right now nobody has been kicking out of that move. And he was gonna beat fucking Okada had he hit that move, and he never hit it in that match. And he didn't hit it. He hit it in the second match, but Okada was by the ropes, so if it wasn't for that, man, he would have been the IWGP champ. But anyways, that being said, I'm just saying that WWE doesn't do a good job at protecting their finishers.
No, definitely.
But, so what grade do you give the entire pay-per-view, T?
You know, looking at what we got, we had three good, really good matches.
Mm-hmm.
Even the women's match was decent, too, for four matches. And you know, it's like most of the pay-per-view was on an upside. I mean, it was definitely a success for a B-level pay-per-view, too. That's another thing you got to look at for Brimstone grade. For a B-level pay-per-view, for what we were given and having a big fight feel in the main event, it wasn't a perfect 10 out of 10.
No.
So there hasn't been that in years.
Nope.
I would say it was definitely an 8 out of 10 for a B-level pay-per-view and for what they gave.
Yeah.
I'd give it a 7.5.
I'll give it 8. I think for a big love win for the way Raw is, I think that's the best you're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, most of the time, the pay-per-views deliver. It's the week-to-week shows that fucking suck.
Everything in between the fights.
Yeah.
And the fight that they're fighting every Monday, that bothers me. But besides this one match with Brock, and that's why we like it.
Yeah, I mean, anything Lesnar is must-see. If you're a wrestling fan, you got to see what the man does, because anytime he's on TV, it's going to grab your attention. Yeah. And it's 9 times out of 10 going to be the best segment of the night. The fact that Joe was right up there, right on par with him, it just says so much about Joe. And he's a person who's not to be taken lightly. He is a person who most definitely deserves to be main eventing. And I hope after this, the man is being taken seriously.
Yeah.
I hope they take him seriously. I would hate to see him become a mid-carder.
Man, God, I hope not. God, I hope not. I hope whenever it is that Lesnar loses that title, no matter who it's to, I hope immediately after Joe wins it. Immediately after, because he deserves it, man.
Yeah.
Joe deserves it. He's been putting on 5-star matches since his Ring of Honor days. The man is a fucking beast. He was overlooked for so many years.
Yeah.
He is where he belongs now. He worked his way from the fucking bottom. The man deserves to be in this company, and he deserves the recognition that he's getting. And I'm 100% in support of Samoa Joe, man. Love Joe.
Oh, he's great. And honestly, the way I would book it, if Vince has to go with Reigns Lesnar at WrestleMania, let Reigns win. And then at SummerSlam next year, have Joe and Reigns and have Joe finally take the gold.
Yeah, man.
Where he goes.
Yeah. So I gave it a 7.5. Both of you guys gave it an 8.
Man, yeah. Man,
well, pretty decent for a Raw pay-per-view. Pretty decent. And for a pay-per-view that is the first of its kind as well.
A name that we made fun of countless times.
Oh yeah, man. So this was a pay-per-view that nobody was taking seriously when first announced. And look at that. It's probably one of the better pay-per-views of the year. It's one of the better ones of the year. But yeah, man, that's all I really have to say about this pay-per-view. You want to close this out, T?
Yeah, I'm just coming back into the house
now. Mm-hmm. Great. That was a level 2 dude, though. You saw that, right? It was good. It was something that really, really delivered. And I hope that they book more pay-per-views this way. I'll be back on the laptop in just a second. Give me 1 second. I'll be right back. Okay. Oh, well, you know, after, like Sage was talking about earlier with the ambulance match, and we got this match with Joe and Lesnar, I wanted to close the show with something quick. Let me pull up the wrestling report here and give you this one quick piece of news that has to do with Raw. Alright, here we go. Because this kind of ties in with Great Balls of Fire and all the storylines that we were talking about. So I definitely just want to say this real quick, and this is a teaser for news and rumors. Later on in the week, we'll break this apart even more.
So be on the lookout for this. I'm just trying to get this to load here on the computer. Here we go. All right, it says WWE SummerSlam main event reportedly revealed. Now, this ties in with Great Balls of Fire and Raw last night, so listen to this. During last night's Raw, GM Kurt Angle made it official that on next week's show we will see Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe clash to determine who will be the number one contender for Brock Lesnar's WWE Universal Championship at SummerSlam. According to Bill Bahati of Sportskeeda, the main event for this year's SummerSlam will feature a fatal four-way match for the Universal title, seeing Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, and Braun Strowman. Now, it was also previously reported via Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer that the main event for SummerSlam was to see Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns for the Universal title. But if you remember when those rumors originally came out, that was before Great Balls of Fire took place. So now with Great Balls of Fire taking place and seeing how things are shaping up, I'm sure Strowman is going to interject himself and in the match on Monday. And, you know, this is going to give the Fatal 4-Way what I think we are definitely going to see come SummerSlam. And it should be a good one. But with all that news, I just wanted to close it with that to give people something to think about. But as far as everything else goes, I'm thinking, guys, for news and rumors, how does Thursday night feel?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do Thursday.
Okay. Because I figured that would be the good night to do it, because tomorrow, people keep your eyes posted. I may have a special interview with Chase Owen, depending on how things go. You know, I'll be in contact with him tomorrow to see if he's able to come on the show. If he's able to come on the show tomorrow night, we'll have that. But, you know, no confirmation as of right now. I got to see how things are going to work out. So if you see me come on tomorrow, that's what it'll be for. If I don't come on, that means that we got to schedule for another date. But I'll see what happens tomorrow when I hear something from him. So we'll play that by ear. But, yeah, Thursday we'll come back for news and rumors then.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys enjoyed episode number 70 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast for today, Tuesday, July 11, 2017. And just looking at the chat real quick, we got one question from our buddy Phil Schwartz that said, how was SmackDown tonight, bro? SmackDown was decent tonight, so hopefully I get to check that out. But I hope you guys enjoyed this review of WWE Great Balls of Fire. And for Sage and for Capital P, I'm Big T. And we will see you guys on Thursday night for news and rumors, and keep your eyes posted for maybe a special interview with Chase Owens tomorrow night. We shall see. But you guys have a great night. I love you all. And we will talk to you very soon. Hope you enjoyed Great Balls of Fire as much as we did. And leave your comments down below. Let us know what you thought of it. Leave those likes and subscribe. And we'll talk to you soon. Good night, everybody.